Hey, friend. It's David Nabinsky here in Brooklyn. So excited for this special episode that I'm reviewing a book. I've done this on prior episodes, and selfishly, it's a great way for me to learn and to further connect to what I'm reading, and it's just the beauty of podcasting. And this book is super relevant to what we're doing here together at Portfolio Career Podcast. And so, yeah, excited to share it with you. As always, this episode with timestamp notes is available on my website at portfoliocareerpodcast.com. There you can also subscribe to my newsletter called One Email Away, which has the best insights from the podcast and friend-sourced opportunities. And so let's dive in. We today are discussing the Multi-Life book by Emma Gannon, with the subtitle, Work Less, Create More, and Design a Life That Works for You. If you're not familiar with Emma's incredible work, here's just a little bit about her. Emma is an author, an award-winning podcaster, speaker, columnist, and was named Forbes UK's 30 Under 30 in 2018. She's a former social media editor of British Glamour and has been published everywhere from The Guardian to Teen Vogue. She has been blogging since 2009, podcasting since 2016, and the author of 5 books, including the novel Olive. Her podcast is called Control-Alt-Delete, which is said to have over 8 million downloads. Emma is very, very, very inspiring, and I wish I read this book when I started my Portfolio Career Podcast. I guess the best time was back then, and the second best time is now. You can learn more about Emma at Emma's website, emmagannon.co.uk, and you can see all of her many hyphens, which we'll dive into in a second. And what is a hyphen? Maybe we can just start there. A hyphen, as you may have seen in people's LinkedIn titles, where they say investor, author, speaker, podcaster, etc. All of those different things that make it super hard to quickly assess what somebody does, but at the same time makes them a super well-rounded and a human, as opposed to the one title that a job may be forcing people to do. So that's what a hyphen is. And this book is just right in the middle of the fairway of what a portfolio career kind of means to me. And this book was super helpful to further dive into the ideas, additional context, additional stories, additional insights, additional frameworks. The book was written in 2018. And so the book is fascinating because a lot of the things that Emma is talking about in terms of flexibility, working from home, and using technology to create side hustles, experiment, add more hyphens, stuff like that is now even more visible to people. But Emma saw it clear as day in 2018 and talks about it in this book here. So it's fascinating to kind of read the book in today's context, which is clearly has changed a bunch since 2018. But the book is super relevant to today's time as well. And I'm going to pull out some of the best things that, some of the insights and things that resonated most with me. So page 3, the multi-hyphen life is not about championing insecurity or project overwhelm. It is taking into account that the gig economy trend on the whole is on the rise. Being a multi-hyphenate is about choosing and strategizing a plan of attack and having the freedom to take on multiple projects, not being backed into a corner. This is about choosing a lifestyle. This is about taking some power back into our own hands. The multi-hyphenate lifestyle is about having a mismatch of projects going on with different income streams attached that make up a salary instead of it coming from one source. And goes on to say, you're a career chameleon, changing and molding yourself to different projects. And later in the book, Emma also describes the multi-hyphen life is not about short-term fixes, but strategies and opportunities that will enable you to forge a new path that is more robust than a single focus career. My favorite chapter in the book actually was chapter 7, which is the multi-hyphen life toolkit. 10 ways to lay your multi-hyphenate foundations. And I'll just kind of briefly go through each of the 10. I think they're super important, and hopefully they plant some seeds and provide some things for you to noodle on and to dig deeper on. So number one, pinpoint your unique blend. And, you know, Emma then talks about just write a list of words that you'd like to be described as, list of things that you'd want to be recognized for, list of things that you're really good at, find the common themes in your different skills. You know, these are the things that really kind of make you you, particularly in terms of these are the things that you've done in the past. These are the things that, you know, would lead to credibility for you to point to other people to say, hey, I've done this. And they're also indicators in terms of what you've liked and what you don't like. So number two is grow and maintain a micro audience. So being a multi-hyphen is not about being an influencer. It's about developing an authentic and real audience of people who know you for doing what you do. Technology has enabled all of us to start a podcast like this, or to blog, or to start a newsletter, or to create content in a certain way and to connect with a certain audience that way. And maybe it can also be in online workshops and just kind of connecting people around your ideas and work there too. But within this number two, Emma has just a really great point, a really great quote of saying, being a successful multi-hyphenate relies on getting different kinds of work by being known to people who can give you that work. Let's read that one again. Being a successful multi-hyphenate relies on getting different kinds of work by being known to people who can give you that work. So for me, that's been, you know, an opportunity and also a challenge, is in the sense of that, you know, some people know me as a podcaster, and it's easy to kind of point to that to say, hey, David makes podcasts. He can help you with a podcast. But, you know, the challenge then is, well, is that the kind of work that I want to do? Or is that just part of my multi-hyphen portfolio career? But getting people to who can give you work, know you for things that that you would like to get work from, that's the challenge and the opportunity. So one thing that I've been noticing on that too, though, recently is you're seeing more and more people that you may look up to. They're creating different opportunities to engage with them, whether that's online courses, workshops, etc., writing books, etc. There's ways to kind of connect with those people now than more so than there has in the past. So I think that that's really an amazing way to connect with people and have them see you lead, organize, etc., in ways that you'd like to be known for. Number three, always be in beta mode. We can no longer plan ahead the way we used to because of the pace of new advancements in technology in the workplace. We must remain agile, whether we're working on our own, on a small team, or in a huge business. And Emma goes on to say that this section was inspired by Reid Hoffman, founder of LinkedIn, whose mantra, always be in beta, means act like you're never really finished improving. And I just love that point, you know, and Emma goes on to share there's different ways how to stay in beta mode. And, you know, this episode is a beta example of, I've probably done five or so book review episodes. Hopefully this one's better than the ones before, but just an example of just always trying to test and experiment and keeping me on my toes. Number four is the age of personalization. So Emma goes on to say we're in the era of personalization. So there's ads that are being targeted to you. There's recommendations that are coming towards you. There's all these different ways where more and more companies are kind of feeding you the information and the ideas that they think that you would be most interested in or would be most that you'd engage with. It's the same type of way should be for your work, where people and opportunities should be curated and generated for you, and not a blanket job description. So think about that. So it's like, how can you find a job, a project and stuff that is uniquely created for you? Number five, be your own PR and marketing department. So as I mentioned, Emma's been on the cutting edge of technology and social media. And so she really brings this kind of view of the internet as a way for people to understand who you are and to find you. And she goes on to say that your space on the internet is like your shop window. It's the place where you can be discovered by anyone in the world. The place that says, this is me and this is what I do. And, you know, so part of being a multi-hyphenate is selling yourselves. And so, you know, there's different ways that maybe you feel more comfortable selling compared to other ways. You know, maybe it's one-on-one, maybe it's in emails, maybe it's in person, or, you know, on a Zoom call or a phone call. Think about whatever those ways there are and embrace those. Number six, you don't have to quit your day job. And to this point, Emma goes on to share kind of a way to ask for flexible work. So maybe you've built up a lot of trust with your current team and you say, you know, hey, 5 days a week is great, but I think I can be as effective in 4 days. And these types of maybe short-term sacrifices can turn into long-term advantages. So yeah, something to think about there. I think flexible work is on the rise and it's going to be easier and easier to do it with people and companies that know, like, and trust you. Number seven, this one is hilarious. You're a multi-hyphenate, not a multitasker. one of the biggest assumptions about being a multi-hyphenate is that you must flit between projects like a butterfly, never totally landing on one thing, which isn't all true. It goes on to say you can have multiple jobs, but you still might spend more time on one than the other. And if you care about what you're doing, you'll always focus on each job properly. And it's important to do just that. I personally like the ability to go back and forth from my day job and then, you know, at night or on the weekends, just like now, dive into this world of podcasting. And so, you know, on the weekend, I'm not multitasking. I'm being super focused on this podcast episode for you. And yeah, so we can also do that during the week. And maybe one suggestion on that is to think about ways to kind of limit your attention in certain areas and maybe close some of those browser tabs. I know that I'm guilty of that sometimes too. Number eight, act micro, think macro. And then this references a quote that I'd shared earlier that the multi-hyphen life is not about short-term fixes, but strategies and opportunities that will enable you to forge a new path that is more robust than a single focus career. And Emma then goes on to talk about how we can't predict the future, but we can look at the trends and try to be as prepared as much as we can. Number nine, use your energy wisely. And she goes on to talk about how, you know, work in units of energy and hours, and that she used to waste so much time when she worked in an office, cups of tea, chatting, countless pointless meetings, etc. And this is, I think, energy has been one of the hardest things for us to manage as we've all been working from home. And I think we've become more and more aware of that and more acute to that. And I think the key thing now is also to think about, well, what are the things that are going to give you energy? So, and sometimes it just be like a quick walk. Number 10, don't do stuff for free. And then goes on to talk about kind of the balance of, if you're going to do something for, don't do things for exposure. There's different projects and things that you could do that could go for free that will specifically lead to great networking opportunities. But just be really careful about doing stuff for free. So those are the 10 ways to lay the foundation. And I thought were super, super helpful. The next other really big idea in the book was just simple pros and cons of the multi-hyphen life. So I'll start with the pros, and We'll also talk about the cons too. So pros, variety makes us happier and less bored. We are all more multifaceted than we think. Intense periods of energy on projects results in higher quality work. It's exciting to work on something and give it everything you have with an end date in mind. Your overall brand of you is the umbrella for your multiple projects. An investment in your personal brand will make you stand out in the workplace. Productivity levels increase when you have some element of control over when you work. You can earn more money in a concentrated time period. You can embrace the idea of a non-linear career, aka not climbing a pre-made ladder created by someone else. You're not labeled, you're not boxed in, you're not defined by one career. You're open to exploring your potential in multiple areas. You're more employable in future years because you have a variety of skills. You're less likely to be phased out. You're adaptable. You're future-proofing yourself. You're learning to twist and turn as you go. You can move quickly. In a big corporation, something as simple as designing a logo can take weeks. When you're a small business or by yourself, it can be done in a matter of hours. Getting time back is important, and being nimble is one of the most important things companies need to focus on right now. And then the cons of the multi-hyphen life. It's a pain in the ass describing what you do to your grandparents. You have to set some serious boundaries. Work-life balance works only when you have some parameters in place. The character limit in your Twitter bio isn't enough to sum it all up. People will still want to put you into a box because it might make them uncomfortable that you don't have one clear job. You have to motivate yourself, which at times can be difficult to sustain. What'd you think there? What's your favorite pro? What's your favorite con? Do you have some other ones to share? Let me know. This book is just filled with small little interviews, studies, anecdotes, insights, little stories, just a lot of different ways to kind of hook on to the ideas in here. So, but one of the other kind of things that I really liked here was a table in chapter 3, kind of describing what the multi-hyphenate lifestyle is all about, which is allowing yourself space to breathe, allowing yourself not to be defined by a box that having one job with a title chosen by someone else can put you in. Having the courage and tools to make big moves on the side without risking financial stability. Giving yourself the confidence to not be defined by one thing. Letting go of thinking your job is your life, your identity, and your worth. Letting yourself add other names and titles to your bio as you go. Letting your hobbies and outside interests make you better at your job. Having two simultaneous careers or more, whatever ratio works for you. Allowing technology to help you live a happier, more creative lifestyle. Getting rid of obsolete traditions of the past. So again, this is what the lifestyle is all about. So this other quote that I really liked was on page 133, which is, the multi-hyphen life is about reinventing yourself and your career and staying nimble, but it's important to A, remember why you're doing it, and B, pinpoint the basic foundations you already have in place so you can repeat your success each time. And I think this part is really fascinating to me is the why you're doing it. And for me, you know, why did I start the Portfolio Career Podcast, which was to, I didn't have a body of work in my own name. I didn't have anything like that. I was, you know, had just moved to New York a little bit before, and I had met all these amazing people that had multi-hyphen lives, had portfolio careers. And it was a big shift for me coming from San Francisco, which was previously all about which startup do you work at? And that was just really fascinating to me. And so that really drives me. After I left a job previously, I didn't have anything else to really point to. And so to me, this podcast is a cushion, a security blanket, an opportunity for me to continue to invest into myself, continue to invest into my work, continue to invest in new relationships. And so that's why I keep doing this. But I know I remember those times when I was pivoting and trying to figure out what I was going to do and changing and, you know, kind of complete and abrupt changes and stuff. And so for me, building this out and doing this is a reminder to where I was before, where I didn't have much else. So, and then to the point about the basic foundations you already have in place, this part is something that I've been trying to work towards. And as I've kind of pivoted more towards being at the intersection of growing companies and growing people. And so, but I think prior jobs, prior projects leave clues. But I also think the foundations are around who are the people that trust you? Who are the people that like you? And that goes back to that prior quote around how the importance of getting known by people that can give you the work that you then want to do. And so, you know, my current employer is a previous podcast guest, the one before then, previous podcast guest. So that's been, you know, unexpectedly has worked for me so far. So maybe there's something like that that you could think about that could be helpful of a framework that you could reuse on your own. I think Emma also really talked about some other ideas related to how to use technology and social media and, you know, really providing a lens of what's it for? What's the post for? What's this? And, you know, I think we, you know, when Instagram started, it used to always just be what are we eating? but what does that really point to, or what does that really speak to about who you are or what you do and stuff like that? So I think a lot of ideas here and around what to share and to how. And Emma has this one quote on page 163 around the goal of self-promotion is to get more work. So you're sharing your work for a reason, not just for the sake of it. So yeah, I've been trying to be more thoughtful about what I post and not. And, you know, it's to educate, to inspire, to engage, try to do that across all of the platforms with every type of post. And then another key part in this book, and one that doesn't get talked about that much, was around money. We all have a story around money. And Emma really kind of articulated it really well. And so I definitely recommend you checking that out. I think some of the key ideas related to money is related to this other stuff too. It's around doing the self-reflection, journaling, looking for past examples. And, you know, when someone asks you a question about, you know, how much money do you make and stuff like that, noticing how that makes you feel and stuff like that. And yeah, just becoming more and more aware of these things. And the more often we talk about it too, then often we'll become more comfortable with it. So maybe there's ways that you could start talking to someone about, you know, how much the certain project you made from it and how much you're getting from a certain client, and just to get more comfortable on that. And you know, it's the conversations that you don't have that often are obviously the hardest ones. So practicing those ones are more and more important. And then just a couple other quotes that really stood out to me on page 57. This is a new age of employment. You manage your own training, create and maintaining your own job security, and build your own online ecosystem. You're running your own business, the business of you, with a mixture of skills to offer. So yeah, even though we may think that we are a freelancer, a teacher, a podcaster, an author, we control our own destiny. And more, this is highlighted in the book, is more and more the, for better or for worse, for good and for bad, we're at the center of these career decisions, these project decisions, compared to in the past. So we need to embrace that. We need to take ownership of that, and we need to strategize on this type of stuff. I thought there was another great quote around page 10, that we should be looking less inwardly when searching for a job or a career plan, and instead look outward at our environment and our role within it. We should be less hung up on our job titles and hierarchy and focus instead on what we can do and how much value it brings. And I think that that's a really powerful quote in the sense of trying to work with people and projects and communities and things that you care about, and less about the things that look particularly sexy. These are the things that are going to motivate you. These are the things that are going to become easier to you. These are the things that you're going to be able to get, you know. It's compared to that applying to a job on online with the random, you know, apply button. A, it's hard, and B, it's not as personal to say, what can I do? Who could I help? Who would be interested in working with me? Which company cares about me? Things of those nature. And I think, again, this is a big kind of paradigm shift towards the prior workplace norms. So yeah, I really like that quote. This last quote that I'll leave with you is page 55. The multi-hyphen life is the straight up refusal to be pigeonholed or afraid to add another strand to your career bio. Love that quote. And so I think the idea around is, you know, what are the things that you can do for a while that will continue to allow you to grow and develop your work, develop your relationships, develop your skills, so that you can't be pigeonholed. So try to find the things that you can do for a long time. It's hard to do, but yeah, just something to think about, because technology is always going to change. But what are the things that you can do on a regular basis? Maybe it's podcasts like this. So those are some of the core ideas in the book, some core quotes. Hopefully the book helps you. Hopefully the show helps you. But I think that this book is a great framework, toolkit, a box of goodies for us in building our portfolio careers. A couple things on that I would say are like ideas and things that I'm taking away that I'm trying to work on. There was one part in the book around branding and photos, and that's an area that I'd like to invest some more time and energy into it. And Emma talked about the benefits of having high quality photos and having a media kit. So yeah, I guess I'm saying it here so that I work on it down the road, but it's definitely something that I noticed from it. There also was around this idea around practicing and workshopping how you describe what you do. And obviously it depends on the context and where you are and who you're talking to, et cetera. And which is interesting because, you know, as you may remember, in the beginning of the show, I used to always, the first question I used to always ask people was, if we were to go to an event tonight, how would you typically introduce yourself? And what I noticed there was that people struggled with it. And people said, kind of similar to what I just said in terms of, depends on where I'm at. And, yeah, I think the more that we can better communicate this, the more potential people, projects, work, and stuff that we can have come to us, either through referrals or people just would find us and connect with us about that. Another kind of takeaway from this and was around this concept around having kind of like a career strategy in this world where things are changing and things are adapting, and you know, we're trying to find our own success. And so some questions that I'm still thinking about because of this are around like, what skills do I need to learn? Like, I didn't really realize how important or helpful podcasting skills were going to be when I started podcasting in 2018. But then that led to new work, new projects, all these other portfolio of podcasting type of stuff. And so I think trying to be strategic around the skills to learn is something that I'm thinking about. And then also going back to this idea around kind of communicating what you can do or what you do do to certain people. So yeah, kind of what relationships do I need to build And that goes back to kind of the career strategy type of thing. So yeah, in a nutshell, really, really great book. A book that I wish I read a while ago, but now's the second best time. So yeah, if you've read it, would love to hear from you. If you eventually read it, would love to hear from you. If you like this format of how these ideas were kind of communicated to you through the podcast, would love to hear from you. But check out Emma's work. Check out on her website. She's very active on Instagram at Emma Gannon UK. So I hope this helps you realize that how to take advantage of your portfolio career, how to take ownership of it. And as always, this episode with notes is on my website at portfoliocareerpodcast.com. There you can also subscribe to my newsletter called One Email Away, which has the best insights from the podcast and friend-sourced opportunities. And yeah, really excited to build and grow our portfolio careers. Connect with me however you can. I'd love to hear from you. And just a reminder, I'm one email away. Thank you so much.